Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. It says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let anyone desire to come after me. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" Brother Lee.
Morning, church.
Morning.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
Can you hear me okay? Thank you, Hope, for that special music. Praise the Lord. He is still working on us. He is not giving up.
Amen.
He who began the good work in us will complete it until the day he comes.
Amen.
It's good to be back. It's been a few months, several months. I'm even more ashamed, actually, to say that today we're going to be finishing up the fruit of the Spirit, and I say it ashamed because I think it's been about close to 2 years that I've been working on this, and I'm so sorry about that. But still a wonderful closing sermon on self-control today, and I pray that you get a blessing. I'm going to kneel and pray now. Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you again this morning. I'm still worshiping you. Lord, we worship you in song and giving and prayer. Lord, I want to thank you for the children that were here this morning. I counted about 7 children. What a blessing it is to have children in our church. Thankful that we can be here this morning, my family and I. Thankful for the faithfulness of this church, Father, to proclaim your message in the Pittsburgh area. Father, as I close out these fruits of the Spirit on self-control this morning, I pray that even though I have words typed out, that they would be your words and not my words, and that your Spirit would be within me, speak through me, Father. Lord, I thank you that you have given us the fruits of the Spirit. You want us to have these fruits of the Spirit in our hearts and our minds and our lives. We're praying for them in abundant measure this morning. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And I thank you, Lord. Amen. So I wanted to mention this resource. I don't know how many of you know, but this resource is an awesome resource. It's called BibleTools.info. There's an app, and you can do it online. You can place any single text. You can place any single text in this website engine, and you can come up with the SDA Bible commentary on that text. Adam Clark Bible Commentary, Matthew Henry Bible Commentary, and other Ellen White scriptural indexes. Valuable tool, and I highly recommend it. So, this last final time, I'd like you to repeat with me, because repetition deepens impression, and I love to hear you guys say this verse with me. So please say this verse with me. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Amen. Self-control or temperance. Self-control is the ability to control one's emotions, behaviors, desires in the face of external demands to function in society. It's needed when we are children all the way up through adulthood, and we would struggle in our marriages and our jobs in every aspect of life without it. Some other good names for this topic would be moderation or self-restraint. or self-will. Or we can switch the word around and it could be control of self, which we know we can't do by ourselves. We have to do by the power of the Holy Spirit. So whichever way you relate to self-control, self-control is especially hard in this world of selfies. You guys maybe know what a selfie is. A lot of people taking pictures of themselves and posting it on social media. This is an instant world we live in. We talked a little bit about it in Sabbath school. Instant world. We have to have things now. We have to have things yesterday. That's why we have credit cards, because we don't have the money for that fantastic sale item. So we get it and put it on our credit card, because it obviously will never be on sale again. And when the bill comes, we don't have the money to pay for it. So we ultimately pay interest on a sale item. And you guessed it, we ultimately don't really pay a sale price for that item because we had to pay interest on it. The cycle is vicious but true. There was a test done back in the 60s by a psychologist named Walter Mischel. He was a professor at Stanford University who did a test which is now called the marshmallow test. Anyone ever heard of the marshmallow test? Okay, well, you'll find out about it just now. The marshmallow test was performed on younger children who were offered one small treat. Sometimes it was a marshmallow because it was called the marshmallow test, or it could have been a cookie or a pretzel. The children were told that they could have one treat now, one marshmallow, cookie, or pretzel now, or wait 15 to 20 minutes and receive another one to have two small treats. The tester would leave the room and come back to see the results. Follow-up studies showed that children who waited their allotted time had better life outcomes in regards to SATs, educational attainment, how far they went in school, and many other tests and life measures. While you may research this test and find it out it had flaws, I think the basic premise of this was that good things come to those who wait. That old saying. There's an obvious connection between the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, and the fruit of the Spirit we had earlier about the fruit of patience. Like many of the fruits, many of them go together, hand in hand. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." And Philippians 3 and verse 5, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So this prize we are trying to obtain with Christ's help is that of eternal life. And the reason that I think that self-control is among the fruits of the Spirit is because I believe all these fruits are high callings and how we try to press toward that mark. We have a high calling to be led by the Spirit of God and not to be led or controlled by ourselves. Listen to this quote, Steps to Christ, page 43, says, "The warfare against self is the greatest battle that was ever fought." Not World War II, not World War I, not the Vietnam War. No war is greater than the battle against self. The yielding of self, surrendering all to the will of God, requires a struggle. But the soul must submit to God before it can be renewed in holiness. End quote. 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So let's look in the Bible at some examples of people who had self-control. Or some bad. Some had good self-control, Some didn't have self-control. The main thing to remember is that the Bible characters were human, just like you and I. We have these stories to learn how to be and how not to be. And again, we talked about this in the Sabbath School. I thank Jeff for the Sabbath School. We found out ways of parenting that were good and ways that are of parenting that were bad. We don't want to be like a city that doesn't have walls, which is what Proverbs 25:28 is talking about. So first example is Moses. Moses lacked self-control in allowing his anger to get the best of him when he decided to take matters into his own hands and kill an Egyptian. But leading the children of Israel around for 40 years took a great deal of self-control, don't you think? Especially when they didn't obey God. Time and time again, they didn't obey God. I think Moses also had patience to an extent with Pharaoh. But we see towards the end of Moses' life, towards the end of the 40 years of wandering around in the desert, that Moses finally did lose his temper and self-control when he struck the rock to get water out of it, as opposed to speaking to the rock as God had told him to do. And that cost him going into the promised land, didn't it? Number two example of self-control in the Bible is Esau. We see Esau not having self-control when it came to appetite and being so hungry that he traded away his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of lentils and some bread. I think we've all made decisions at one time or another that weren't probably the best when we were hungry. I know I have. Don't ever ask me to go to the grocery store when I'm hungry, because I'll end up coming back with too much food that we didn't have enough money to spend in the first place. Can anyone relate to that? I hope so. Our third example is Joseph. Joseph had some self-control in resisting Potiphar's wife while he was trying to do the work of a slave. Joseph also had self-control when he saw his brothers and they didn't recognize him, but he was still able to test them without revealing his identity. Also, he controlled his feelings and didn't have them just put in jail or put to death, which he could have done. One way I think that Joseph could have demonstrated some more self-control was when he was younger and having these dreams about the sun, moon, and stars bowing down to him and the grains of wheat. He could have kept them to himself and avoided bragging and getting his brothers all mad and jealous at him. Our fourth example is David. David lacked self-control when he went to his rooftop, when all his warriors were out in the field fighting, and he was relaxing. And while he was relaxing, he saw Bathsheba and ended up having an affair with her and tried to cover it up by killing her husband. But we do see that David did have self-control when he had the chance of multiple times of killing King Saul. But he chose not to kill him because he knew that King Saul was God's anointed. Even though King Saul wasn't doing what God wanted him to do, he knew that God had anointed him. Number five, Samson. Good old Samson. We pretty much see his whole adult life was lacking self-control. He basically did what he wanted, when he wanted, and how he wanted. But we see how that ended up. It ended up costing him his eyesight, his freedom, and ultimately his life. Number six, Daniel. Daniel showed self-control when he and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, decided not to eat the king's meat and drink the wine and stay with God's diet. Listen to this. The case of Daniel shows us that through religious principle, young men may triumph over the lust of the flesh and remain true to God's requirements, even though it cost them a great sacrifice. What if he had made a compromise with those heathen officers and had yielded to the pressure of the occasion by eating and drinking as was customary to the Babylonians? That one wrong step would have probably led to others until his connection with heaven could be severed. He would have been borne away by temptation. But while he clung to God with unwavering trust, the spirit of prophetic power came upon him. While he was instructed of man in the duties of court life, he was taught of God to read the mysteries of future ages. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 4, page 570. Example number 7, the best example of all of self-control, was Jesus. Amen? He lived a perfect life while being here on this earth. Jesus displayed an incredible amount of self-control in the wilderness after he had been baptized. After 40 days of no food, the devil came to tempt him to turn stones into bread. Remember I said, we can be weak when we're hungry. Praise the Lord, Jesus was not. Satan appealed to his appetite where he had been weak. Satan does the same to us. He knows where we're weak. I'll come back to that later. Jesus also was tempted by Satan to bow down and worship him. Jesus' comeback every time was what? It is written. Many other times Jesus showed self-control, especially during his trial, in being beaten and spit upon and falsely accused. The crowning act of Jesus' self-control was while he was hanging on the cross. As the song so wonderfully says, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but he died alone for you and me. Jesus was the epitome of self-control. Praise God for Jesus' self-control. Jesus is the example we as Christians are to follow. To have self-control, we must die daily and live for Jesus. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live, Romans 8:13. You know, self-control is different for everyone. By that I mean, if you were to place in front of me right here a plate of chocolate chip cookies, I would have no problem in resisting them because they don't appeal to me. I'm just not a big chocolate person. And I know many of you are. They don't tempt me. On the other hand, if you place those same chocolate chip cookies in front of my wife, it would be really hard for her to display self-control. While it would be hard for her, my weakness would be banana pudding. Or my cell phone or computer, some silly things I have as well. Why? Because we all have different types of weaknesses. We're all created differently. It's important to remember that our weaknesses are God's strength. We find that proof in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Even Paul struggled about it. Listen to Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree that the law, that it is good. Verse 17, but now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Verse 20. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me. The one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity into the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, Paul says. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I serve myself, serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I know that's wordy and long, but I think that Paul is really saying what we experience here. And I'm not exactly sure what Paul struggled with. I don't think it was chocolate chip cookies and banana pudding. But whatever it was, he had a struggle as well. It was difficult for him. Whatever your struggle is for self-control, God knows, God cares, and God forgives. Amen? But don't miss this. God will help you to be over an overcomer. There's victory, friends, in Jesus. Don't forget that this morning. There is victory in Jesus. The key in my mind about temperance and gaining self-control is that you have to know that you are weak. You have to acknowledge and admit it. They say that AA, Alcohol Anonymous, when you go, you have to admit you have a problem. That's like the first step. You have to admit you have a problem. Once you know your weakness, then it's up to you with God's power not to place yourselves in an area where you will be weak again. When an alcoholic wants to gain temperance, it's important that that person doesn't place themselves in that environment. The alcoholic cannot say to themselves, well, I'll just go to the bar and have some water and a meal. It doesn't work that way. Darcy, as I've said, struggled with chocolate, and I'm telling this with her permission. She says, she used to say, she doesn't struggle with it as much anymore, but she used to tell me, don't bring chocolate into the house because I can't control myself. She's putting up boundaries that she knows will cause her problem. Why was it a problem for her? Because it usually affected her mood or her health. She knows the consequences and of the effects of those it causes around her. Something like alcohol cannot be in moderation. If you have a serious drinking problem, it's interesting, when I watch these videos of the marshmallow test being done, it was amazing at the great lengths these kids would go to not to eat the marshmallow that was set before them. Some of the kids would stare at the marshmallow the whole 15, 20 minutes. They would just stare at it. Some would smell it. Some would lick it. Some would put it in their mouth, take it out, and put it back on the paper plate. Some would take tiny little pieces off of it, thinking you wouldn't see that they had eaten part of it. Some would turn their heads and not look at it, or would try to distract themselves with something else. What stood out in my mind was to get it out of sight. If you don't want to be tempted by it, then remove it. Cover it up so you can't see it. It's like that old situation, that old saying in some situations, out of sight, out of mind. Listen to this wonderful text, 1 Corinthians 10:13, which says, no temptation. How many temptations is that? No temptation. No temptation has overtaken you such as common to man. And that's basically saying, well, whatever you struggle with, nobody else struggles with this. Nobody else has ever struggled with this. No temptation has overtaken you such as common to man. But, there's a conjunction there, but God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But, another conjunction, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear. Isn't that good news? God is doing this work. Praise the Lord. He has made a way of escape that we may bear. James 4:7, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. How many of you want the devil to flee from you? I know I do. That word submit in James 4:7 has very close association to the word surrender. I know that's a tough word and a scary word. And if we sing that wonderful song, I Surrender All, if we were truly honest with ourselves, the song would probably go, I surrender some. Amen? Or ouch? I know for me it's ouch. Ouch, ouch, ouch. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. That's a promise we can cling to, amen? That gives us hope. So Christ began this good work in us of refining our characters. What can you only take to heaven? You can only take your character to heaven. I'll add to that, you can take converts to heaven too. Character and converts. But he's refining our characters on this earth for the kingdom of God. And he will continue to do it until he comes in the clouds of glory. I can't wait, can you? Aren't you glad that Jesus isn't done with us yet? Knowing this doesn't allow us to continue in our imperfections and sins. But it should make us want to strive to allow Jesus to do that work. And to not work against him in this great work of molding and shaping us. We all have a part to play, and that part is dying daily. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 5:31. This morning, do you want self-control? I know I do. I don't want to be led by my own spirit because that will always take me down the wrong roads. Just below the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:25, we find, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I think that sums up the fruits of the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. If we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, we want the fruits of the Spirit, let the Holy Spirit work in us so we are leading a Spirit-filled life. As we end these beautiful fruits of the Spirit, I encourage you to study them more. Examine them and pray for them to be manifested in your life. There are stories out there, I'm sure, of people who have had a certain fruit that they struggled with. And through prayer and submitting to God and to the Holy Spirit, I know that they have turned those weaknesses into strengths. We have to remember Zechariah 4:6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Today I hope and pray that you are willing to make a decision to become more like Christ and less like self. Self will let you down every time, but Jesus never fails. Jesus is love, friends. Jesus is joy. Jesus is peace. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus is good. Jesus is faithful. Jesus is gentle. And finally, yes, Jesus is self-control. I hope that's your desire this morning, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus at home, at work, at play. No matter what you're doing, be like Jesus all day long. If that's your desire this morning, I pray that you would stand with me. Do you want to be like Jesus? Father in heaven, Lord, I want to thank you so much for the fruits of the Spirit and how you modeled each of these fruits in your life and how you help us to keep these fruits by the power of your Holy Spirit. And you want these fruits manifested perfectly in our life. Lord, the reason you tarry is because you're waiting for your church, your bride, and for their character to be perfected. Lord, please continue this good work you've started in us. Thank you that you don't give up on us. Help us to continue to study to show ourselves approved unto you, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful scripture on the fruit of the Spirit. Help us to remember it's not by our power and by our strength, but by yours. Because all that we are and all that we ever will be is because of you, Jesus. I pray that you would cement this into our hearts and minds, that we would share it with others, that we would study it, and that we would be that light on a hill to those we come in contact with, so that others may see our good works and glorify you, Father God, who is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. And everyone said in this house, amen. Please remain standing, and we will sing our closing song, Stand Up, Stand Up for Jesus, hymn number 618.